Good morning and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment from yesterday, I'll allow myself to let go, but not, recognizance. And I apologize if I didn't read it quite like that yesterday. I had to look it up in the workbook.
Well, so, it should say, I don't know who wrote these assignments, but it should say I'm allowed to.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which we have established, haven't we, in this?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, my gosh.
Exactly.
Do we have to revise that book again? If those people
and we
would
might
just
have to
pay attention the first time around, the work that we could be saved would be enormous.
All right. Here's our first
Here we
caller.
Go.
You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, good morning. Hi, Sherry and Ashwini. It's Sherry in San Francisco.
How are you, Sherry?
I'm glad to be here. Love this. I love what you just said, and I just crossed it out in my workbook and changed it. So maybe we could all just do that.
Yes, exactly. There it is. If everybody would just revise books to be the way they know they should be, then we would all be fine. I like that. Thank you. Thank you.
Exactly. So over the weekend, I was listening to some open-air archives and really appreciating the way that you and Ashwini use the word and, you know, yes, and, you know, and I, yesterday or the day before, one of those days when I was doing this, I crossed out all the buts and wrote and in my book. So, you know, to let go and not, to have what I want and not. And so what happened when I did that is it really got to see that that but is so conditional, right, always.
Ooh. Yeah. Sherry, in fact, you know, in the world of communication, you know, communication folks will say that the but is there to negate what came before.
Yes!
I'd love to go to the movies with you, but I can't. And the only thing that matters is what comes after the but.
Yes!
The rest of it is just window dressing. So that's a really good exercise.
Well, and also what happened for me is that it really opened up. It felt like life-affirming to be able to say, you know, for instance, to have what I want and not. Like, if I'm allowed to, you know, to cry and not, or to love and not, to be angry and not, then it means I can have everything. I can be everything. I can just be, right? I can just be whatever life is presenting at the moment.
Yes. And then the only piece of this we need to address is being allowed.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Rather than I can.
I was crossing that.
I can cry and I can laugh.
I'm going to cross that out in my book again and revise it once again. This is why. So now it's just I can.
Uh-huh.
Or I do. Or I
Yeah. Yeah. And what we're looking at, of course, we never want to lose sight of the fact that we're looking at the world of possibility, right? Because, which is really important. If we don't look at that, then we're putting ourselves in line for another set of beatings. Because now I know that ego allows and doesn't allow. So I should never allow ego to do that again. I should be in charge of my whole life and way of being. And if not, well, hey, that's on me. But the reality is, and the reality is, the fact that we've seen something doesn't mean we're automatically able to come from that place every time for the rest of our lives. It's just not how it works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm just wondering then, so would the rewrite be I can, or would it be life invites me to, love and not, cry and not?
Well, again, you know, when we talk about everything happens in two places, which is kind of funky language, but there's what happens in the world of ego, and there's mm-hmm. what happens in the world of the unconditional. So in the dualistic world of ego, we want to be very careful because we're in lowercase land, right? So I can, we're saying it's possible for me to, but again, we want to be aware of which world we're talking about. So in the unconditional, life can express in every way. And a human being, it's possible for a human being to have every experience that life has to offer. And then we keep getting pulled into the world of ego, where this is allowed and that's not, and you can do that, but you can't do that. And you with me?
Yes. I was just writing that down. I totally am with you. And I think I'm just so glad that you underscored, you're right, there are always those two mm-hmm. different, you know, quote-unquote worlds.
Yeah. And I have been accused for many, many years of being way too picky with language. You know, people will roll their eyes and go, that's semantics. It's not. It's mm-mm. really, really difficult to come up with the language that will express what's actually happening. And we have to be ever vigilant, because the way we get fooled is through that conversation. And the use the use of these words is what controls us. And ego is a master at coming up with the language that will do the most damage.
Oh, yeah, and I totally appreciate, I see how it, you know, it evolves over time more and more as practice deepens, mm-hmm. but that the language, mm-hmm. I feel like, is what, it's like a signpost for us. You know, yes. It points us to where to look.
Yes, yes. And if we're not careful, if we just use whatever words come to us, then we are encouraged not to look with the depth that is required to see what is possible for us to see. If, mm-hmm. as soon as we think we know, ego has us. Oh, yeah, I get that. Ego has us.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is so mm-hmm. great. This is so great.
Isn't it? I just can't imagine anything more fun for a human being. I really can't. Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you. Deep gratitude to both of you. Bye-bye.
And to you. So happy.
Thanks, Sherry. And Sherry. Yes. The thing that, several things dropped in for me around that, one of which was the process that I just watched happen, that, you know, as soon as we, there's such an interesting way in which the conditioned process takes an insight to rewrite, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, and yes. that part of the process that you and Sherry were talking about allows us to see, okay, if we're not allowed to, then mm-hmm. we change the but to the and to be in that state of inclusiveness, and then move to what's the approach or the attitude that would clarify the contradiction between those two places, which requires an and again, because you can't resolve the contradiction between two places. You just have to step back to a context that includes both.
Yes. Yes. You have Always. To draw a larger circle of acceptance.
That's right. And so to understand that all levels are operating, the level in which I'm allowed to or not allowed to, the level in which there is a but, which is a negation, there's a level in which there's a duality, which is an or, and there's a level in which there's an and that includes everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so mm-hmm. focusing on only one is the process that conditioning does. It's this or that or just this. And just to get a sense of that's the how of the conditioned process is really exciting.
Yes. And what's required, as you say, is the constant stepping back.
Yeah.
I have an awareness, an insight. Something drops in. And instead of clinging to that, can I step back and see that larger context in which that insight applies?
Yeah, I really appreciated the insight about the and, because it's the only way the awareness continues to expand.
Yeah.
You know, because if we try to resolve how two things can coexist, it's always an or a but. And
yeah.
That's not...
And it's always ego, and it's always conditioned, and it's always duality.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and a knot below the duality is the self-hate, which is the knot, right? The negation is not this, not this, not this, or
mm-hmm.
this or that. And then
mm-hmm.
that inclusive place of it's all of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which, right. I know we need to talk to somebody else, but what that last sentence, if we can get that, that everything is. It is. There's no reason to start dividing things up. It
mm-hmm.
all is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Ashwini. It's Jan.
Hey, Jan.
Hey, Jan.
Hi. I just jumped in the queue because what you described so helped me in seeing a process that's gone on for me for a long time, and you just busted it.
Oh, good. What is it? What is it? What happened?
Yeah. Well, when I've written anything related to practice to share with others or just for myself, there's a struggle that's gone on. Because it takes me so long. You know, you're taking too long. You're being, you know, you're being so picky about how to
mm-hmm.
say something, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
mm-hmm.
and what
mm-hmm.
I just got to see is what's really, at least what I'm seeing right now, is what's really going on is the truth is sort of trying to get out. I mean, that I'm reaching for that, for the
mm-hmm.
deepest truth that I can see at that time,
mm-hmm.
and it does take time. It's
mm-hmm.
like allowing the time for that to surface, and
mm-hmm.
it's always been interpreted as something, oh, you're just not very good at this, or whatever negative connotation
right.
is, you know, taken at the time.
Right.
So thank
right.
you.
And hurry up, yeah, hurry up and just, you know, get something down. No. No,
yeah.
that's, no. We're waiting... We're patient in our wait for clarity. We're learning to
yeah, and
be
I,
present to clarity.
Yes, yes, yes. And I just hadn't seen it like that before. There always was
mm-hmm.
that tinge of, not doing it quite right, or not haven't got this down yet of how to do this, or whatever it is.
Yes, and it's not the communication you're being criticized for.
Right. No, no.
Yeah, it's how you're doing it, because
exactly.
And of course that's the, as you've noticed, that's the crux of the matter. Yeah, because
right.
if it can get you to just dash something off, oh my gosh, the confusion, the misinterpretation, potential for hurting feelings and being insensitive, oh, it's just a treasure trove for ego.
Yeah, and two other things came up with that is there is then the next time I go to write something, there's a dread that wants
yes.
to, that want, you know,
yes.
it tends to be there. And
mm-hmm.
I now can see that for what it is more clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And also
mm-hmm.
the thing that has been the big clue that you helped make really clear is when I'm done writing, when I've taken my time and I know I've said what needs to be, or it feels that way, I've done my best to say what I'm trying to say, there is just this, euphoria isn't quite it. It's just this a centered, open, spacious feeling that is quite wonderful.
And I would say it's because you feel yourself in the presence of presence.
That's I'm gonna be recording about this.
And looking forward to those writing opportunities, right?
Well, and that's what's interesting about it is I usually volunteer when the opportunity comes up to do that, because I know that the end result is going to put me in that place, or that I will end up, is a better way to say it, in that place. But, ooh, conditioning is like, oh, you're going to be, you know what this is like. Yeah, for it, I do know what it's like.
Yeah. Well, you know, Jan, it's why I love email classes. Because I am required all day long to the best of my ability to be in that place. And the cumulative effect of that is the best. So I'm going to encourage you to do more and more and more of it until and you just sit down looking for that experience. Looking for present to presence. That's what you're doing. If something gets written, great.
Right. And if it doesn't, then it's not boom. Time. Oh, thank you so much. Really helpful.
Oh, you're so welcome. Yeah.
Go happy.
Go happy.
Thanks, Jen. In the presence of presence, Sherry, that feels wonderful. It's such a feeling of resonance.
Yes, and I actually thought about you when I said that, because I know that's what you love most about writing the musings articles. Because you talked to me about that. That experience of just staying with it and being with it, being open to it, and watching what conditioning wants to say about what's being said, and just staying with it until there's an opening for life to write what life wants to write.
Yes, well, and to me it's very much a, a calibration exercise, because, the image of the little chick inside the egg and the pecking from the outside, right? There's a way in which there is a seeking that comes together in clarity, because there are no barriers. And if we are in the process of seeking, we do expect that lack of confusion or the feeling of the lack of connection, because it's actually a very true experience. Something has to dissolve in order for the non-separation to be a reality. And what we're doing is dissolving that to be in that sense of alignment. And it's the most exquisite love affair process ever. All right. Here we go. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? All right, let me try someone else. Here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello?
Hello.
Can you hear me? Hi.
Yes.
This is Susan from Ventura.
Oh,
no longer from
Susan.
L.A. Hi.
Oh, moving north.
Yes, closer to the beach, closer to the water, closer to relaxing.
Very nice.
Yeah. So I was thinking about, just this conversation has changed my answer about I'm allowed to let go and, instead of but, and try to stay in control at the same time.
That's perfect, isn't it? That is a perfect description of what a person is allowed by ego mm-hmm. to do. Ego will be in control of the letting go and in control of the keeping control.
Yes, oh. And I'm allowed to let go as long as I know where it's going and there's no mm-hmm. unknown to it. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. there's nobody else around to witness it, so they won't judge me like I judge myself. And mm-hmm. this is
like the voices judge you.
Right, exactly. Yeah, just the word
yeah.
abandon.
You're not doing, you're not doing yeah. all that stuff, Susan. Yeah.
yeah. Right.
Yeah, and you're the one. You're what's watching it, right? You're what's mm-hmm. you are what had that moment of clarity to see all of that.
Hmm. Yeah, and also there's something kind about the and. Like, yes, I can let go and be aware that of this desire and fear for control, but mm-hmm. I can still put my toe in the water. I can still take a step. I don't have to wait till I can completely let go. You know what I mean?
It's, yes,
it's,
yes.
It's permission those, giving.
Yes, and all of those are true. Right? Mm-hmm. It's not. Mm-hmm. You can't let go until you have no control issues.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, like
I'm practicing letting go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I'm practicing
the final
letting
let go.
And I have control issues.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, just being aware. And there was something mm-hmm. else in there, and I couldn't find the words for it, but there was something, the whole, there's just something about trust. Like, little I can let go with all those parameters, but because it's the issue of trust in there. But the big I, you know, of trusting life. There's something about life letting go and me letting go. There's some difference there. It kind of comes back to a same and similar place inside me, you know,
mm-hmm.
Of trusting mm-hmm. where life's taking me, that I am part of it, that it's okay, those kinds of things.
So in fact, the way we often talk about it, your growing sense, I project, is of mm-hmm. life living you.
Yes.
Right? When we can watch mm-hmm. the ego go, no, I don't want that, I'm afraid of that, what's going to happen if that? And we just let go and there you are now, closer to the beach, closer to the ocean.
Yeah, and the voice, I could hear this little voice in my head said, yes, but if life does it, then I don't get credit.
Yes, that is true. Yes, ego, you do not get credit. Mm-hmm. that's the good news.
Ivy, this show has been critiqued by ego, but otherwise they had nothing to do with it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it's the voice of liking and disliking in the head. It has mm-hmm. it is not a player at all.
Mm-hmm.
Which
mm-hmm.
is what when you said that, that's a very important point that we should not overlook. A critic doesn't have anything to do with the production.
Right. Yeah, they're kind of just in the background. But I just love that permission, that feeling that Anne gives me of, it's okay, I can, you know, I'm not making the sucker's choice here. I can start, and all those things can happen simultaneously in the process, and it's all okay.
Yes, life is one big and. that's kind of one of those T-shirt bumper sticker things. I don't know if anybody but us would know what we're talking about.
But the joy of explaining it would be incredible.
Right.
Ask me about life being an end. Anyway, that's all I wanted to say, but I appreciate the conversation and the change in my perception just from listening in. So thank
that's
you.
That's wonderful, isn't it? Thank you, Susan.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Go happy.
Bye. You too.
Thanks, Susan. You know, Sherry, the thing that was dropping in for me about that conversation is when ego doesn't, it's like the practice of the merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings is the surrender mm-hmm. of, or the letting go of that which wants to take credit But if we stop identifying with the ego and in some way identify with the intelligence that animating through us, then we could take all the credit and it would be true as well.
Right. Life is living me.
It's only when the I stands in the way that it's a limited notion of me, but an unlimited notion of what animates all. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's seeing things as from a we perspective. Then it's not so much taking credit as really enjoying and appreciating everything, kind of congratulating everything that everybody does.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and in some way, there's a very profound shift in the orientation to non-separation when it isn't a matter of me taking credit, but there is the credit that is available to all beings. And that line from the Daily Recollection works both ways, both in the surrendering of the ego and the identification with the all.
It's the painter who paints a masterpiece, and when people praise it, can say it is extraordinary, isn't it? And there's not a bit of ego in it.
Exactly. I think it's in Screwtape Letters, the ability for taking ownership in that sense of the word, of the intelligence that is. All right. I think we have time for one more caller. And so here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Gracious.
Okay, let me try one more. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Emily from Seattle.
Hello, Emily.
Hi. I'm really appreciating this conversation, too, and this changed perspective. One of the things, I notice when there's so many, there's allows and there's buts, it just excludes so much that there's hardly any room left.
Yeah, things get really kind of crunchy, don't they? Kind of, small and tight.
One of the things that I've been looking at is, the one about being angry but not, and how that, I'm thinking of that a lot in parenting now, could see how, I can be angry, but then there's so much that I don't know what to do with, the part I can be angry but not any kind of ego identified anger, which is when it gets sort of feeling nasty or snide or hateful, or when I have mean thoughts, and then that gets I don't know what to do with that because I don't allow that. I mean, of course, I don't allow acting that out.
Ego doesn't allow it, right? Because you're told that that would make you a bad, awful person.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I also don't want to do that.
So, Emily, it's like this. You're horribly sick at your stomach, but you can't throw up because that would be unpleasant. Can you see that that's not going to lead to anything good ever?
Well, but there's a healthy
stay
way
with me.
Of expressing.
Stay with me here, okay?
Okay.
So there you are, horribly sick at your stomach. It's true, you don't want to throw up in the middle of the party. So what do you do?
Okay.
Find an appropriate
Go somewhere.
Way and
yeah.
place. There we go. Yeah.
Okay.
Which is where you're headed with this, right?
Yeah, doing it appropriately, expressing it appropriately.
Yes. And yes, and how, what is the tool that we have that makes that possible for us?
Record and
listen. Recorder, and the mentor who you notice is never offended or shocked or upset by anything that's going on with us, just goes, well, it's hard. It's hard to be in that situation all day long.
Well, this
helps you be appropriate.
But then there's even this, like a mean thought. Then there's immediately like, oh, that's not allowed. That's
well, you know, Emily. That and if for, I mean, this is for all of us. Okay, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
When we pay attention closely to that, now that kind of stuff goes on all the time, and almost nobody notices it. But when you practice to the point that you do, I mean, you're there. Think about this for a second. Take this in. You are watching. You are disidentified enough, stepped back into awareness enough that you're watching thoughts arise in the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Celebrate that, okay, first of all. And then when we get to that place and we're watching that, what we realize very quickly is, I didn't think that.
Hmm.
It just appeared there. I don't have any control over that. That stuff just shows up. So when we take it personally, then ego has something to grab onto to reinforce it. But if we just look at it and go, wow, where does that stuff come from? And then you turn your attention to what is true for you, what you choose instead, you're not giving ego any place to hang that stuff.
Okay. Well, that's the point where I need to not say that that's ego, not me.
And And again, you know, you don't have to take my word for it, right? Because you're watching it happen. You know that that's true. It's like listening to something on the radio and then being beaten because somebody just said this ugly thing on the radio. We would say, well, that's insane. But when it's happening inside our heads, it's easier for us to be convinced that we're the agent of that. I didn't do that.
I thought that. Yeah, that's the point there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's good, huh?
Whew. Yeah, that's really good. Thank you.
Right. Go face motherhood again.
Okay, back to it.
Back to parenting. Here we go.
Okay.
Fortified.
So I appreciate
it. And, you know, Emily, before I let you go, that is another really important part of it. I mean, give everybody out there who is in whatever situation that undeniably is difficult. It's challenging.
Mm-hmm.
And just to give the person a lot of praise and reinforcement and all of those kinds of things for doing something really difficult with as much good cheer and patience and conscious, compassionate awareness as possible.
Thank you. That's nice.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right. Take good care, huh?
Bye.
Okay.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Emily. Okay, Sherry, that brings us to the end of a very, very fun show. And our assignment today, and I'm going to read it as it was written, and everybody can do the buts or the allows or whatever else changes they want to.
All those revisions. Get ready.
All those revisions. But the way it's written is, I'll allow myself to be loved, but not, ... Record and listen.
All right. I'll allow myself to be loved, but not. All right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you, Ashwini.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, Gary.
Treasure yourself.
Okay.